What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Track Talk Podcast. We are your hosts, Emma and Hannah. This is our official recap of the greatest week in motorsports of the entire year.
Yeah. Absolutely. Let's get it. Let's do it.
I was extremely involved in the Indy 500. Emma has been super removed from every single thing motorsports the past week.
Yeah.
So
I don't know what's been going on.
Yeah.
I just know it was a good thing Ericsson didn't win the 500.
Correct.
We'll get into that.
Correct.
Because that's messed up.
Yeah. I mean, so similar to last year when we were at the 500, like Monaco is the same day, right? Which next year won't be.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. Next year, the Monaco race is the week after. So it won't be, which is nice. But because the races are on the same day, like Monaco was on as we were like doing a grid walk. So we're like, okay, maybe I just don't watch Monaco because like I can't multitask both and I don't want to be disrespectful to IndyCar while I'm on the grid.
Yeah.
Like I just, fair. So we didn't watch it. I have since watched the highlights, of which there were.
Yeah. Were there highlights, Hannah?
Of which there were not too many. Look, my biggest thing was I saw a lot of chatter about Williams and Mercedes. So I was like, I need to know what happened there at least.
So, okay. We talked about how there was mandatory 2 pit stops. Correct. And that was supposed to make the race more interesting. And that just didn't
happen.
It didn't work out like that. So what Liam, not Red Bull, I'm sorry, you said Mercedes. I mean, a lot of teams ended up doing this, was like using one driver to back up the rest of the field so that their driver ahead could get a pit stop in.
Ah, I see.
And like not lose their spot. And I then see. That driver then did the same so the other driver on the team could do a pit stop and not lose their spot.
Okay.
Pretty much. Because you can't pass on Monaco, so if you slow down and keep those other drivers behind you, they can't do anything. They literally can't pass you.
Right.
There's nothing, like, they can't.
Right.
So a lot of those drivers did that within the first 20 laps, and there's, like, what, 70 laps in Monaco? How many laps are there? Oh, wait, it says there. 73 right behind you. It says 73 laps.
So this one was 78, so a few more.
So
but yeah.
In the first 20 laps, all these drivers pretty much did their pit stops.
Okay.
And the same thing happened with Williams, where I don't know who it was first. I think it was Alex who pit first, and Carlos had held the rest of the grid up behind him, and then they switched. And during that, I guess James... I'm pretty sure
Toto.
It was James texted Toto, team principals. James texted Toto saying, like, apologizing for that tactic.
Because how I ended up finishing was Alex P9, Carlos P10, George P11. So, and then Kimi was just down.
Well, Kimi didn't have a great starting position.
Three laps. Yeah.
Like, and so
you're right. He had a bad qualifying.
Mercedes was just kind of screwed because, like, they couldn't do anything about Williams and their pit stop and their, like, I wouldn't call it a strategy. Like, I really wouldn't.
Well, I think it's kind of a good strategy if
teams are doing it.
Yeah.
The only team, I mean, I'm not going to lie, the race was a blur and I was so tired. But I know Max didn't do it.
Right.
Max was pretty much waited until the end.
Till the end,
to see if a safety car would come out, which is a strategy.
That's also a strategy,
And a strategy that often works in Monaco.
Yeah.
But that didn't work on his favor, and he ended up having to use a second pit stop like a few laps to go, which is why he didn't obviously end up anywhere in the lead.
So. I mean, he did finish fourth, which is pretty good, but once again in Monaco, last year was more than just the top three, but once again this year the top three finishers were the exact same as their qualifying order.
Yep.
I don't recall where Max started for. Five is Isaac. Yeah, no. So Lewis is the only one who made up a place. So the top four stayed the same between qualifying and the race.
Doesn't shock me at all. As soon as Lando got pole position, I was like, oh, he's winning this race.
Yeah. Yeah, I felt so too.
For sure. I'm sorry. I need to say something right now. Because I think F1... what time are we at? So I think F1 qualifying Monaco qualifying is so much better than the race. So
correct.
I hadn't watched it that morning.
Okay.
And I was like, I'm going to watch it later. Like, and I told, like, I put my phone on Do Not Disturb. Like, I was working. I made, like, the people who I knew were watching it, I, like, muted the group chats. Mm. I told the people not to say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to watch it that afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
12, it was like 1 p.m. So it was literally only a few hours after qualifying ended.
Mm-hmm.
I was off social media. I was so good.
Oh, no.
Hannah.
Me?
No, not you.
Fana?
So, No. Do you know? Okay, I kind of have a boyfriend. So he doesn't watch race. He doesn't watch motorsports.
So you never thought he would ruin it for
so
you.
So I didn't think to tell him, don't talk to me about it.
Right.
Because why would I?
Because we're,
He doesn't watch it. He doesn't. He texted me. He woke up at 1 o'clock, first of all, and was like, so.
Which is fair in his line of work.
He's like, oh, so Lando's like Lando's in the front for Monaco.
That's really funny.
I was like, I got so mad. I was like, how do you know this? First of all, like, what do you mean? Like, what do you?
He just opened Instagram and that's what he saw.
I guess you. So. Yeah. But I was like, I can't be mad because you're showing interest in my interests.
Yes.
But also. Don't.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was like, I didn't think I had to warn you not to say anything because you never say anything.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's really funny.
It's cool. It's whatever. It's fine. Now he knows not to say anything.
Yes. Unless he will never say anything again.
And then I said, I don't like that. I was like, you can say something if I say something first.
Yeah.
So then I was like, Alex Palou won the Indy 500. And he was like, why would you spoil it for me? And I said, you can't. Nope. You don't care. You know?
Yeah. That's really funny. I'd actually be so pissed. Sometimes Fan App, their notifications ruin shit for me. And yes. I'm like, I have to turn these off.
Yeah.
Yep.
But otherwise, I was good. And then I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, how did I get spoiled like that? Anyway, congratulations, Lando Norris, on your Monaco win.
Yeah.
And the hard launch.
Oh, my God. So my sister and I watched it live qualifying. And my sister, again, like, very new to this stuff. And as soon as, okay, it's come to my attention that it's pronounced Maggie. As soon as she was seen on the TV, Mac and I both were like, oh my God, did they just hard launch? And Alex is like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm like, no, this is huge. Like, they just, it is. And she's like, but Lando, like, we knew Lando had a girlfriend. I'm like, correct. But there is still lots of people in this world that are in denial, I want to say.
Yeah.
And I feel like it took this. Well, maybe they're still, I don't know. Maybe they still don't believe that they're together, but.
Well, it didn't say Lando Norris's partner. It said model.
Correct. On
it. Whereas like other confirmed girlfriends, it does say like occupation and then partner, right?
Mm-hmm.
So hers only was occupation. But even then the broadcasters in so many different regions referred to her as Lando Norris's girlfriend.
We know it's his girlfriend.
We know. Like, we know. We know.
Side note, I'm going to forget, but I did, in fact, see Mick Schumacher with my own two eyes in Indianapolis this week.
I love that.
Yeah, so that was a jump scare because he was actually the first person I saw when we walked into IMS on carb day.
No.
I saw this beautiful blonde man right outside the media center. Mac goes, that must be Mick Schumacher. I was like, no, there's no way. Why would he be here? Like, why would he be here? And then I looked at him closer and I was like, oh yeah, the height checks out, the hair checks out, the style is good.
Is he? Mac, he's goes, not tall.
No. But like,
yeah.
No. In fact, it was the fact that he wasn't that tall that I was like, I know he's a driver. Mac goes, yeah, his neck is far too large to not be, so it's definitely him. And then there was photos of him later that day.
Did it like? I feel like if I were to see like an F1 driver just like casually there, it wouldn't register at first.
It didn't at first. Yeah. Especially because I love him. Like, I love Mick Schumacher.
You didn't say anything?
No, he started walking away and I was like, he was with somebody else. Name. I know. I think he's like networking. I don't know if that's like,
you can network,
a hot take, but like, I think he's like maybe trying to race in any car. I'm not sure. He seems to be doing really well in the endurance series, but like, I don't know if maybe this is something he's looking at for his future. Anytime you see a driver who's not racing around, it's just kind of insinuated that they're like networking, trying to find sponsors.
Well, that was Logan Sargeant at Nashville last year. Correct. We were like, what's he doing here?
Right.
You're talking to Dale Coyne. You're talking to like all these teams.
Well,
like,
you know who else I saw?
Who?
Teddy Porkchops. Like Teo Porcher.
Teddy Porkchops.
Yeah.
He was there?
Yes. My sister
he
was like
last year in the 500.
Yeah,
he for sure did.
No, Callum did in the McLaren.
No.
Yes. Promise. He did race in the 6 car after Malukas got fired, but not for the 500. Callum raced for the 500.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Because maybe he was just there.
He may have been there.
Because I feel like I remember seeing him there and I was like, who is that? And I literally like was staring at him for way too long. And then whoever I was with, I think it was Boston, was like, that's Tao Pourchaire.
Yeah.
And I was like, I.
Potentially. He definitely didn't race it. Callum raced in the six car.
Callum did. It was Callum, Rossi.
And then, but I do think that Tao did race Detroit in the six. I think you're right. And then he was fired. And then Toronto, or not right after Detroit. He raced a few, and then he was fired, and then he came back for Toronto after he was fired.
Nolan didn't race. I mean, Tao Pourchaire didn't race in Toronto. Nolan raced in Toronto.
For Rossi, when Rossi broke his thumb.
You're right.
Yes.
Oh, gosh. That car is... There's so many people on that team.
It seems to be doing okay. It seems to be doing okay. Yeah, Nolan did have a slip-up at the end of the 500, but we'll get to it. Anyways, yeah. My sister, when she saw Tao, she's like, who is that?
Did she have a crush on him?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
I'm like, he's like got a girlfriend, I'm pretty sure. But he just was not actually talking to anybody, like not really networking. Yeah. He was just like there twice. And I was like, you know what? Like objectively, like really cute guy. My sister was like, wow, I should go say something to him.
Why didn't she?
I told her to.
Okay.
Keep it profesh.
That's fair. She is representing Track Talk.
Correct. She kept it profesh. She's also honestly not the type of person that would have like gone up to him and just been like, hey, you don't know me. Hi.
Yeah, what would she have said?
Right? I know. Like, there was no possible way that plays out.
No.
Positively. No. Also, I knew he had a girlfriend, so.
He would have been like, hi. She'd be like, I don't know your name. Just here.
I hear your name's Teddy.
Pork chops?
Pork chops. Did I say that correctly?
Oh, my God.
Anyways, wrap up Monaco. Lando was asked about the 500 after he won. Did you hear that?
No.
Lando was asked, would you ever do, like, now that you've won Monaco, would you ever do the Triple Crown? And he said, absolutely not. I have huge respect for the guys that race IndyCar. Like, it's like they don't even talk about Le Mans. He's like, I have huge respect for the guys that do race IndyCar. And I actually do think that, like, Lando and Pato have a good relationship, it seems.
Yeah.
And he's like, but, like, it's, I don't think I could do it. Like, it's just not for me.
Interesting.
Because... I mean,
it is harder.
It is so different than what they do.
Yeah.
So.
And objectively harder.
Objectively much harder.
Yeah.
So, and then.
Interesting.
Oscar was asked, like.
He's not the only driver who said that he would never do.
No.
Indy or Indy 500.
Yeah.
That's like a very common theme.
I mean, Michael Schumacher literally did it. That's why he said, like, I would never race IndyCar, which is why we're like, wait, Mick?
Mick?
In IndyCar?
Okay.
Question mark.
What about Oscar?
Oscar did. He was also asked about it, and he said, not like would he do it, but he was asked like about the Indy 500, I think, maybe.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah, and he was just kind of like, it's like super cool, we're rooting on like our team, and like I'm gonna keep it like short and sweet because I want to get out of here and go watch it. And I was like, oh. That's fucking cool. And then Charles goes, wait, what time's it on? And they were like, oh, it's like an hour from now. And he's like, oh, like Ferrari meetings go quite long, I'm still gonna be in a meeting. Aww. I was like, oh,
I like that they want to watch, though.
I know.
I guess we don't really think about these drivers watching other series. Like, it's not a thought that crosses my mind.
Which, like, some do.
Yeah.
Some don't.
I'm sure a lot of them do.
I think it depends. Like, I don't think they're, like, sitting down to watch, like, Barber Motorsports Park. But, like, the 500.
Yeah. Like, the big races, like, you're probably going to watch.
Yeah. But Oscar, I was like, wait, you want to, like, wrap this up so you can go watch Indy 500? Like, slay.
Like, yeah, go King.
That's actually sick. Yeah. Lots of chatter about it. I just feel like IndyCar, I mean, we know IndyCar is growing, but like, did you see the global viewership?
I knew that it was sold out for the first time in how many years?
Like, all the grandstands were sold out.
Yeah, that's insane.
The Fox broadcast yesterday announced that it was up 40% from last year, the highest viewed Indy 500 since like 2008. Wow. And last year was already up a lot from the year previous.
Well, I think Fox did a good job promoting it this year.
Oh, such a good job.
Like, absolutely. But I'm not surprised. Like, it's just constantly growing.
I think it's literally just like, yeah, it's growing, well, it's growing, it's growing right now.
Sorry, not that it's just growing, but like there's more, there's interest from like company. So like, as soon as Robert Schwartzman got pole position, he got like three new sponsorships immediately.
Really?
Immediately, from people that were like interested and they wanted like their brand on his car. And like, that does happen, but like for team like Prema, new to the series, it's
struggling.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's just like, you know, so it's like now these companies are like, oh, this is something mm-hmm. big. We want to be attached to it, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. which I think is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like to see that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Fox is doing a great job. Mm-hmm. Other series are doing good jobs. Like having Kyle Larson in with NASCAR, like we saw the effect last year. It just continues this year. It's still huge.
Yeah.
Obviously, like RIP to the Double Dreams. But
I think he just has to stop.
Well, it was a 2-year contract. So I think it's probably done.
Okay.
We
crashed both races this year.
Right.
I'm smiling. Not that I want him to crash. I don't.
No, I know.
But I did see something when Scotty Mack crashed, like spun out. Kyle Larson gave him like a sarcastic thumbs up.
Oh, yeah.
Which, okay.
I'm fairly certain he also got on the radio. Maybe it wasn't Scotty Mack, but it was definitely one of the other crashes. And he said, someone just crashed. Oh, I think it was Scotty Mack because it was on the pay stop. Someone just crashed. What a fucking idiot. I will say the sentiment from the IndyCar fans was get Kyle out of here.
Yeah, that's...
Don't clip that.
No, I won't. But like...
NASCAR's going to come for me.
But like that, come on. Like, come on.
I know.
I'm not saying it. But some people have said karma. That's it.
for the Scotty Mack statements?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. No, because also we're jumping ahead, but Kyle's crash was completely all on him.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he took out Stingray Rob and
Rasmussen?
Kiffin Simpson with him.
Yeah, Kiffin Simpson, yeah.
So, yeah. But let's
talk rewind. About the 500.
Yeah.
Oh.
Let's rewind.
We're done Monaco.
But let's rewind. Because before the 500, there is...
Carb day. Don't do that.
Oh, yeah.
Carb day.
And for those of you that are unfamiliar with carb day... It is the Friday before the Indy 500. It's the last practice session.
And
that
you just eat pasta.
Yeah, and you eat and drink beer.
It's not actually pasta. But there is beer. Do you know what?
There is lots of beer.
You know what carb day is for, though, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. It's pretty much just like the last practice. Get your trim right for race
The day. Last like adjustments you can make
yeah.
to your car for race day yeah. setup
yeah.
Is on carb day. Okay.
The name originally came from the fact that it was the final session where teams could tune their carburetors in conditions similar to those that might be encountered on race day.
It's still accurate.
It's the same thing. Yes. The name has remained despite the fact that no qualified car has used a carburetor since 1963.
No shit.
We're really good at this.
Since 19... That's so funny that it's still called Carb Day then.
I know, right? But yes, the name has remained.
Miller Lite Carb Day,
yes. I don't recall if it last year was...
Miller Lite.
It was also Miller Lite? Okay. Carb Day is less about really the practice session.
It's so fun though.
It's just...
And there's the a driver biggest parade, party, isn't there? Or is that on Saturday?
Oh, never mind. It's the biggest party at IMS.
It's so fun.
I last year kept saying that I wanted to go to the... tailgates and get me some brisket. This is 2 years. No one has invited me to tailgate for brisket.
Just show up. You don't need to be invited to a tailgate. You literally just show up. Just ask.
This is also 2 years. I haven't even had a single beer on carb day. But also, you know, you're trying to be professional, right? But yeah,
I will have a beer on carb day
at IMS. Here, you know what? This was my sister's initial like shock about carb day.
Okay.
She goes, they can just bring their coolers in.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. No, the Canadian mind cannot comprehend.
You can just bring all of your alcohol in to... Do you have to get that?
No.
Is that called?
I'm just going to put on...
You can bring your liquor, your alcohol in, and you can just drink. And the idea... They want you to drink. Like, it's like, a party.
It's a huge party, and you don't have to buy the liquor from IMS. Like, that's the funniest part.
You know what else kills me? Is the fact that on the Saturday, the parade, like... the driver parade
yeah.
that they do in the trucks is like you can just have open liquor.
Yeah, yeah. I mean technically like it's not allowed, but nobody
says
anybody.
Anything.
Like, yeah. Mac and I did go back to last year and watch the video that I made of you.
Wait
with
for me,
the
I got little legs.
Tiny
that one?
I got tiny legs and a frozen margarita.
Oh, yeah.
fuck, Emma. Like, the lip dub was perfect. The run was perfect. Your cup was green. There's never been a better TikTok.
Thank you so much. That was all your idea.
It
was great.
That actually, it was my idea. Yes.
Well executed. Great direction.
Yes. Okay, carb day. So yeah, we had the best time. We went initially to watch practice for a little bit. We watched actually at the three car stand because I had reached out to, I was talking with Pennzoil, which is the Yellow Submarine sponsor. So I went to go watch there for a little bit, and then we went and did what?
Did you watch the pit stop competition?
Before that, there was lunch, okay? So after practice, there's lunch, okay?
Okay.
After lunch, so lunch was hot dogs.
And what, I was like, what's happening? Where are you going with this?
I think you might be living under a rock. So lunch in the media center after the practice session was hot dogs. And I was like, I have like 2 hot dogs a year. That's not like really what's calling me right now. And then I realized that I was about to witness history with the inaugural Weenie 500. Emma?
Forgot about that. How did I forget?
You would have died.
I would have loved that so much. I would have like that. I wish I was there for that. So the Weenie 500 is...
Shout out Oscar Mayer.
Oscar Mayer hot dogs. They have these Weenie mobiles around the States.
Yes.
They brought 5 or 6 of them.
6 of them.
They brought 6 of them for the Indy 500 so that they could race.
Named them each after a different type of hot dog. So there was a New York dog, the Chai dog, which is like Chicago, the Slaw dog, the Chili dog, some sort of other dog, and then another dog. There was 6 dogs. And I knew actually that this was happening the night before because I had gone out for dinner with Julia from IndyCar Social, and she had told me about it. But for some reason, I didn't. She said Weenie 500. I thought she was talking about dachshunds. I thought it was like a mini, like a wiener dog race.
Oh no, Hannah!
Didn't know until I got there.
I mean, but they were promoting the.
Didn't see it.
They had the dog mobiles there all week.
No. Well,
they had them there at least on Wednesday and Thursday.
They,
for sure.
Okay, I don't know.
How do they transport them? Do you think they drove them?
Again, that's the most Emma Novak question ever because that's what you thought of.
Yeah, because where are they from and where did they come from?
Do you think they just drive? Like they drive? Like they're drivable?
Can you imagine just like on the highway?
And there's just an Oscar Mayer wiener passing you.
They wouldn't.
No,
they would because have
they
to
were
ship
fucking
it.
Slow. Okay. Oh.
Okay, so they probably shipped them.
A 35, okay, a normal IndyCar does a lap around IMS, 2.5 miles, around like 30 to 35 seconds. Mm-hmm. It was like 5 minutes, and the Weenies had not come back.
Was it just one lap?
Two. 2 laps. It was a 2-lap race. And yeah, it was like, where did the Weenies go? Like we could see them on the screen. Distance, like, but like you guys... I have never seen marketing like this in my life. Like, people were wearing hot dog costumes.
Yeah.
They handed out hot, like, inflatable wieners with, like, mustard on them that people were just waving in the air. I made a TikTok. If you'd like to see, like, firsthand what my experience was, you can go watch that. There were hot doggers, which were, like, the drivers of the Weenies.
Is that what they were
in,
called?
In, like, full race suits. Yeah. They were called the hot doggers.
Were they like, who were they? Were they professional race car drivers or
they were college students? No.
You're kidding.
No, I'm dead serious. They were going 40 kilometers an hour, Emma. Like, 40 you could have driven the Weenie mobile.
How do we do that next year? I'm texting Julia.
Text Oscar Mayer himself. It was the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen in my life. Okay. They had an anthem singer who sang the Weenie anthem or something like that. I don't know what the words were, but they were on screen if you wanted to sing along. Do you know Ross's grandma?
Like Alexander Ross?
No.
Oh!
Do you know Ross Smith?
Yes.
Ross Smith and his grandma?
Granny? She was in Long Beach.
Oh, really?
They were in Long Beach.
They were in Long Beach. Okay, I did
And
know.
I literally was so confused because I guess ahead of Long Beach, ahead of the driver parade, a bunch of the drivers, like, some of them walked out with, like, actors, content creators. Connor Daly was holding hands with his grandma, and I was like, is that Connor's grandma?
Connor just brought his grandma.
But it wasn't. It was
Ross's.
Ross's grandma. Okay, I'm texting Julia asking how we drive for the Weenie 500 next year. Julia, how do me and Hannah race the Weenie 500 next year? Okay, sorry.
No, that's okay. I don't even know what else
Weenie
to say.
Weenie 500, there was an
Ross's thing. Grandma. Ross's grandma gave
the starter
engines.
Are there engines on those things?
Yes.
Or do they drive?
There are engines. She said, it's so funny. It was so good. Weenies, start your engines. And it was so good. Like, Doug Bowles, the president of IMS and IndyCar, and his wife, Connor Daly's mom, were, like, on track taking photos with Ross and his grandma and the Weenies. It was, my sister and I, the best photo we got all weekend was in front of a Weenie mobile. Like, it was the best.
It's just iconic.
Time. Yeah. What did she say?
She said, I'll ask around. I want to do it too.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So good. Anyways, the Weenie 500 was unbelievable. They actually had, like, Will, James, and Townsend commentating it. Yeah.
That's so funny.
It was so ridiculous, and I loved it. And the Slaw Dog won, and that's who my money was on, so.
Do you think people put actual money on that?
DraftKings had odds. Supposedly.
I'm so sad I didn't see it. I don't sports bet.
I'm
so sad.
I had a man on the grid tell me that
DraftKings
had odds. I wish I put money on it because I knew the Slaw Dog was going to win. I just knew it.
I'm sad I missed out. Anything else happen on carb day?
The pit stop competition.
Yeah.
The track was hot. Like, it wasn't that hot out, but, like, you and I had this, like, same thing happen last year where, like, we were standing at the pit stop and we had, like, good spots and we're like, we can't leave because, like, we're in, like, the perfect line of sight, but, like, it's fucking hot.
Yeah.
And Lex and I, so right after the Weenie 500, we went on the other side of the track and, like, set up or, like, stood kind of, like, near where the Fox booth was set up. Mm-hmm. And again, like, Lex doesn't know, like, too many people, but on the stage, Will Buxton comes over to the edge of stage and goes, excuse me, to Lex, where did you get your jacket? Because did you see her vintage IndyCar jacket?
Yes, it was so nice.
Yeah, so she bought it on eBay a few months ago. The idea was that we'd both get one, but then the other one was, like, a different size, and I just didn't want to risk it not fitting, and blah, blah, blah. So she just had the jacket. We also didn't book flights till, like, a week before we were supposed to leave.
Okay,
so I wasn't
even sure. Will Buxton?
Will Buxton comes over to my sister. He goes, excuse me, where did you get your IndyCar jacket? And he's like, I saw one on eBay. I just was like, I didn't know whether I should buy it or not. And she's like, that's where I got mine. Like, you absolutely should. He goes over to Hinch and goes, James, come see this. And goes, look at her jacket. And I'm standing there. I'm like, is this happening right now?
Lex has no idea who she's talking to.
Not a fucking clue. No, she knows idea. Hinch. Because she met him in Nashville. Will Buxton, not a damn clue. And I'm like,
if Will Buxton was like, where'd you get your jacket from? I would take it off my back and give it to him.
She said, she's like, I should give it to him. I'm like, I know, but he's like so, he curates his outfits like so perfectly. I don't know if he has a stylist or if
he probably
just
does,
like,
but like I would have given,
I know.
I would give the clothes off my back for Will Buxton.
I too.
That's so funny.
Yep. It was unbelievable, Emma.
I think it kills me is that Lex didn't know.
No.
Like, Lex has no idea who these men are. That's not a clue right now.
Yeah, I know. It's actually unbelievable. I'm like, give me the jacket for next year, bitch. Anyways,
we're all gonna get them.
Yeah. No. Yeah, we should all get them. But yeah, Will freaking Buxton. So, and you know what? I am like, I mean, you've seen this. I'm really used to like my sister, like going out with my sister and like her having like all the attention, just like she's stunning gorgeous. But I didn't think Will Buxton, he wasn't coming over to her because she was stunning gorgeous. But I was like, it's never bothered me in my life that she gets the attention over me.
Until now.
Until right now, in this moment, when Will Buxton notices her and not me. As someone with a sister, you can understand.
No, I get that 100%.
Anyways.
Like, that would happen.
Really,
like,
funny. Yeah.
I get it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, otherwise, that's my... Anyways, that's my carb day review. It was 10 out of 10, like, better than last year. Honestly, I'm so sorry to say that. But the Weenie 500 really put it over
the
edge.
Yeah, the Weenie 500 makes it. Like, yeah. I feel like that's...
And I was expecting a dog race.
You kill me. Like, how did you not see the giant hot dog
not
wheels?
A fucking thing. Didn't see a thing.
I guess you were like packing and working, and then you like you were just driving, like it wasn't, yeah,
nothing. Okay, like zero. Saw hot dogs for lunch, was like, meh, maybe not, that's an odd choice, didn't have it. Would have now, because I want to support Oscar Mayer. You know what, there may, it may be problematic, I actually don't know, but this marketing strategy makes me want to buy them.
So, buy hot dogs?
Yeah,
fair.
Buy Oscar Mayer hot dogs.
You have to now.
I think I have to. Anyways, are they problematic? Was it, were you looking that up?
No, I'm looking at messages from, it doesn't matter, from okay. Work.
Anyways, race day? We didn't go to the parade.
Okay, fair.
Yeah. Did you, I feel like...
We watched it last year.
If you've
year,
done it once, yeah. You've done it twice. Mm-hmm. I really didn't feel like it was something I wanted to do.
That's fair.
The only thing that I saw that was really interesting was that Rass ordered DoorDash midway through.
Yeah, which killed me. And then we commented on his TikTok saying, this is our new favorite driver.
Yeah.
Did you see his response?
No.
He said, okay.
He said, okay.
He said, okay. He said, okay.
Yeah. I did talk to his manager this week. He is still very interested in coming on the show, so we are going to work something out. Yeah. Between,
we're gonna get that king on Track Talk. We need it. We need him on Track Talk.
We do. Yeah,
like we've wanted him on Track Talk for like a hot minute.
Yeah, I think he's ready.
After Detroit.
We'll after Detroit break. Yeah, they have finally a break after Detroit.
The fact that May is not over. Like, we have Detroit and we have Spain.
Like, they technically, yeah, so those, they technically race Detroit in May. And this year, Barber was in May too, which Barber is never in May.
Four
May
races
is
in
ridiculous.
May.
Ridiculous.
Four races in May. I can't, I don't.
Yeah.
I'm so tired.
It's a lot.
That's it.
We don't even work in IndyCar.
And we're not, we just talk about it.
Like, if you talk to any of the people that work for IndyCar, dead. For a team, they're dead.
And, but they still have another week of it.
One more week.
Yeah
I know, it's unbelievable.
Talk about the race.
Race day.
Let's talk about the race.
It was cold, really cold, and we saw that
because I thought it was gonna be like another crazy rain delay like it was last year.
So we knew it wasn't gonna be like that because it was just sprinkling.
Yeah,
but it almost would have been better if it just like rained really hard for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then stopped and they could have dried the track, but you know what, it was okay. However, the issue from last year to this year was last year there was the rain delay, but it got so warm after. Remember how hot we were standing on the balcony?
It was so humid.
It was so humid.
Yeah.
So the track was hot. Tires were warm.
Yeah.
This year, cold.
Ooh.
Cold track.
Yeah.
Cold
it was
tires.
So overcast. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we saw the effects of that during the race, but it was much different. So you guys, I saw Gronk. Like,
she did.
I did. So
I'm so excited for you.
So the driver introductions this year were actually on the track. So nice. We were on the track watching them. And so like the drivers do their introductions with their kids and then they leave. Go off. And then they were like bringing out like Tom Brady. And then Maddie saw Terry Crews and she freaked the fuck out. She's like, Terry Crews, Terry Crews. And we were like, ha ha ha, way to play it cool, Maddie. Like, we're like making fun of her. We're like, way to play it cool.
And then did you do the same thing with Gronk?
Maddie goes, Hannah, oh my God, there's Gronk. My head has never whipped 180 degrees so fast in my fucking life. Never. I whipped that thing around and like, he's a huge man.
Did you say something?
No.
Hannah. Why?
You know I freeze.
I'm sorry.
And he was also walking. I did get a good video of him fist bumping somebody. He was walking. It was just, it wouldn't have been like a situation to like stop and talk to him. Honestly, he's also on the Fox broadcast because he had like the earpiece in. So like, it just wouldn't have been like the opportunity, but I was so excited.
I'm happy you saw him.
Thank you.
I knew you wanted to see him so bad.
I really wanted to see him.
I'm really happy you saw him.
Yes. So we saw Terry Crews, Tom Brady, Gronk, my sister was really excited because we also saw Marion Romaine, who you had seen like from Selling Sunset, who you had seen in Long Beach. My sister also was like, oh my God, like I want to get a picture. I was like, you can't, but
I would not have recognized him.
No,
probably not, because I don't watch that show.
Yeah. Okay. Sam likes him and that's why you took a photo. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Race day. Like race now. Race start.
Race start.
Race delay.
Race delay.
After, where are we at? She saw Gronk.
I saw Gronk.
Driver intros,
flyover. What was really cool this year that they did not do last year was again, I'm not trying to like be disrespectful, but like as a Canadian, I genuinely don't know what they're called. I think they're called the Black Hawk helicopters. They're like a military helicopter.
Oh yeah, I know.
Did like a flyover, yeah, like right as the race was starting, which was so cool.
I thought that was like the shots of that are insane. So it looked cool. Really cool. And yeah. I was like, scary.
Yeah, it was very, very cool. After we got off the grid, which we felt like, I felt like we were on there for like 18 hours. We were, Lex and myself were invited to go watch in one of the suites. It was very cool.
Oh my God. Why did you tell me that?
Cause you were busy and I was That's just like, fair. Well, just recap and we recap.
That's so exciting.
It was so cool. But like such a different experience from last year.
Yeah.
I was like, this is like free food, free drinks, like indoor seating, outdoor seating. You could have the TV right in front of you. Fox broadcast is on. And like, it was just, yeah, very, very cool.
Well, that, I mean, sweet experiences. They're just like,
yeah. And we were sitting right above pit in. So like, nice. Pit in, and then the start finish was just a little bit down
That's
the
way from us. That's a good spot.
It was so good. And we could see like anyone coming into pit. We saw a lot of like the pit disasters, like kind of like right in front of us. It was very, very cool. So, God, you know, we were extremely thankful for that. It's definitely something that we could not have like afforded on our own. We were prepared to watch from the media center balcony and also like inside at some points, but that was a really cool experience. And to be able to like also watch the Fox broadcast as it's happening, because sometimes you just don't know what's going on.
Yeah,
because there was many times where there was just a yellow, and like until Fox,
no one is saying anything.
Right, no one says anything.
We don't know what's going on.
Yeah, so the race was chaotic to say the least to begin with. It was cold. Like I said, the track was cold. Tires were cold. The guys had already been sitting in their cars for a little while because we were rain delayed for about half an hour.
Yeah, they were sitting in their cars and Connor Daly pissed his pants.
And Connor Daly did.
And he admitted it.
Yes.
He owned up to it and fully said, I had to.
Yeah.
It happens very for these funny. Drivers. It does okay? happen. But for Connor, he's very proud to say like it's never happened to him.
Yeah.
It finally happened. Which is a funny. And the fact that he went and spoke and said this in front of a huge audience, like at the awards ceremony the next day or whatever. Like, I love Connor Daly so much.
I know. It's very funny. He said it was like the best car he's ever been in. It was a very strong car for him to have to do that. But anyways, so we were all watching the clock too, because for Kyle Larson to successfully do the double, he had a buffer of about 45 minutes. Because the race end in Indy and then helicopter ride to Charlotte and the race start in Charlotte.
Yeah.
There's really only like about 2 hours. So he only had 45 minutes like of a buffer. So we knew that for Kyle to actually successfully complete this race, we needed to start. Green flag needed to wave by
1 p.m.
1:15.
Okay. Yeah.
And it was like 1:21 that it actually finally waved. So we were kind of like, okay, it'll be fine, whatever, 6 minutes, it'll be okay. But it was getting close there because the rain would stop and then it would start and then it would stop. But the good thing is that the second time the rain started, it wasn't hard, it was just a little drizzle. The car stayed out on track under caution conditions. So like we were still getting laps in while it was raining. But backing it up, even before the green flag waved on the pace lap, it was actually heartbreaking, Emma.
Yeah.
To see Scotty Mac go out the way he did, and then to see his reaction like on the big screens, the entire IMS was it was an audible gasp.
So Scotty Mac, all these drivers on the pace lap are warming up their tires, and the track is cold, like Hannah said. So I guess Scott, he just lost it is what it was on the pace lap, and spun out and into the grass, and
he hit the barrier
and
then into the grass. So it was done. His day was done.
Like, he couldn't. And he just knelt down and, like, well, the driver, like, the in-camp or in-car footage, like, of him, like, you could see him cry.
Mm-hmm.
And I cried.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is someone who, like, just had, like, a shitty qualifying and, like, was gonna, like, he was so ready to get back on track and, like, prove that, you know, he still could do something with this race and like prove that he like for the team, for him, for his fans, that like he could race it. And so to go out on the pace lap and then like he just like knelt down in the grass, like
it was heartbreaking.
The worst thing I have witnessed. Like,
imagine seeing in person. It was like, whoa.
I would have left.
All throughout qualifying for the 500 and then practice sessions, every driver has said my eye is on Scotty Mac, because even with his with his issue, like, he didn't have a penalty or anything, but just to refresh y'all's memories, he ended up crashing out in the first, in the practice session before the fast 12, so the highest he was starting was 12th.
And then 10th.
And then 10th, because Joseph and Will were then moved to the back of the grid. So we still knew that, like, he had a really fast car, he was a really competitive driver.
If any of the Penske's are going to do it, it's probably going to be him.
For sure. Yeah. No, it definitely would have been him. And the, everyone said, like, he looks really fast, but, like, people will say, drivers will say, IMS chooses its winner. And this year, it just was not going to choose a Penske, but definitely Scott, not Scotty Mac. The way he crashed in the last practice before the Fast 12 and couldn't compete in it. And then, you know, starts 10th. That's, like, not a bad starting position. And then this happens on the pace lap.
Heartbreaking.
Yeah.
It's okay, Scotty, next year.
He will get one. He will definitely get one. Yeah, he's too talented. Yes. Yeah. Anyways, moving along. Once the race actually did get started, we only got one lap in, not even a full lap, really. Before, it was technically lap four, but technically it was green because it was all under yellow before that. Marco Andretti also binned it into turn one.
Sad. And then I looked at the Andretti curse and, like, you're right. Like, since that very first, like, Andretti 500 win, no Andretti has won the 500. Andretti teams have won. Like, the team itself has won. And, like, other drivers have won different races at IMS. But, yeah, there's no other Andretti driver that has won.
Family member. Yeah. I actually did some research, and I watched the end of the 2006 Indy 500. If you don't know, or if you, like, just want, like, it's a three minute video, like, watch it. I had no idea that Michael and Marco were racing at the same time, and they were both going for a win this year, or that year in 2006, and they both lost it.
Yeah.
Like, they finished the race, but they just did not, neither of them won. It was actually, it made me believe that the curse could be real.
Oh, absolutely.
And then Marco this year. Yeah. So that happens lap four.
Back under yellow, under caution.
Then what? I did take notes as we were watching. I was like, Mac, I'm not going to remember all this. Oh, okay. Yeah. Got it. Sorry, I forgot about YouTube. One thing that I also want to note is that we talked a lot last week about Robert Schwartzman being on pole, giving Prema their first pole position on their first oval race. There's lots of speculation about when he would inevitably lose pole position, because we didn't know really if the car had, like, the full race pace. They definitely had the one lap speed. And it happened in the first corner.
I wasn't shocked.
Yeah. The first corner under green. He did lead, I believe, four laps under caution. But yes, Takuma Sato ended up overtaking him and Pato, and actually he fell to third into the first corner. I don't have too many notes until the Rossi fire. Now, I will say, do you have something to say about Scott Dixon?
No. Well, I have some notes, but like, it's not about that.
The only thing that I will say after Marco was that Scott Dixon's brakes were on fire, and he just put it out by weaving on
the straight. No. That was on the pace lap.
It was before Marco.
And I was like, both Scotts are out.
Yeah.
Indy 500 is not a Scott race.
Yeah.
But then Scott Dixon was fine.
He put out his fire. Well, and then we actually still don't know, like, now, because he ended up having to be three laps down to figure something out later in the race. And I'm assuming it still had something to do with the brakes, but we actually don't know, like, 100% whether that still was the issue. But I thought he was gonna be out also on the pace lap, and he was able to put the fire out by weaving, so good for him.
He didn't finish the race though.
Yeah,
unfortunately, him and Joseph Newgarden, I know we're, like, really jumping ahead, but, like, two drivers that are very, very incredible, and, like, if, like, doesn't matter where they start, they could win. Like, out of nowhere, they both had to just stop the race.
So we go green. I would say the sentiment that I've understood is that there wasn't, because of the hybrid system, it did not allow for as many passes as we've seen in years past. So
I agree.
If the race looked boring to you, aside from all like the crash chaos, that would potentially be why. Mm-hmm. On lap, I have written down 78, Rossi comes into pit. And it was really interesting because all three ECR cars stayed out under caution when they actually did open the pit lane, mm-hmm. and some cars went in and already made their first pit stop. All three ECR cars stayed out. We thought that was really interesting because they were all like, on the same strategy. Yeah. Slay. Yeah. So Rossi, when he finally did go into the pits, he had a bit of smoke on the straight. So we were like, okay, is he having a little bit of a brake fire or like what's going on here? He comes into the pit and I really have never seen anything like this in my life. But what I've now understood from looking at it in slow motion is that he did have a brake fire that wasn't too bad. And then he came into pit and the fueler immediately did his job,
yeah.
and fueled up Rossi's car. But as he was taking out the fuel rig, kind of like squirted fuel everywhere. And then when they took the left rear tire off, which seemed to be where the fire initially was, it just spread completely and it jumped to the fuel rig and to the fueler, who was closer to the wall at this point. It was very scary. That team member, I believe, had to go to medical because they were
on fire,
quite literally on fire. They had Rossi jumped out of the car immediately. He was pissed, like so pissed. But like that was day over.
Yeah.
Like that was a huge fire. I've never seen anything like that. Mm-hmm. It's really unfortunate because, you know, Rossi has won the Indy 500. He, even in the ECR, seemed to like maybe not have a chance to win, but have a chance to finish like pretty high up.
Yeah.
And his day, unfortunately, was ended
for like something that. Out of his control, completely yeah. out of his control.
Yeah. Shortly after that, so we were under yellow after that for a little while because it was a gas fire. They had to the AMR team had to come into the pit box and like put like the sand down or whatever, the powder yeah, down to make sure that anything right wasn't going to catch on fire. Mm. Wasn't there to catch on fire if any other cars had come into the pits at that time. So they were under yellow right as we go green again. Rinus and the pit lane opens. Rinus comes in to the pits and he has now said that he had a rear brake failure. It had seemed at the time that he came into the pits, hit pit in, like his pit in button, which slows down your speed to the pit lane appropriate speed. And because he had cold tires, cold track, he just lost it. And that was really scary because it luckily happened right under where we were sitting, which there wasn't. It was like the area where they're driving into the pits, mm-hmm. and there isn't any teams because he would have probably just hurt someone. He was still going quite fast at the time. So
I mean, there was a driver who
also
had a brake failure though.
That is my he says
he did. So Robert Schwartzman, same thing, came into the pits, no control, completely hit like two members of his pit crew.
Four.
I thought it was two.
Four, potentially five.
And like these drivers were like stuck pinned behind the wheel or like against the wheel in the pit wall, and like he's saying it was a brake failure, that he didn't have the control going into the pits.
I don't know what happened because he wasn't coming in straight, and
which is why I think maybe it was like a little bit of lost control.
Yeah. Yes. But I don't know if it was driver error or if it was a brake failure. But so I'll tell you our perspective. Do we have time? How much time do we have?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we initially, and the broadcast initially does not show what happened to the Prema team. We just see Schwartzman's car in his pit box. His alignment is completely off. His front axle is crooked and his tire is like in the wall. And we're like, what the fuck just happened? And the team members, because initially when that happened, they were like new front wing. So they're getting the front wing, but like that wasn't what they planned to get. So like it's behind the pit box. So like they're getting the stuff that they need to complete the pit stop, and everyone's moving in slow motion. And I was like, Mac, like this is like Schwartzman's still running. Like I believe in the top five at this point. Yeah. I'm like, where is the urgency?
They were just all hit.
I didn't know.
Okay, sorry.
Everyone's moving in slow motion. Like, where is the urgency? Like, this guy needs tires, needs a front wing. Like, let's go. Why is nobody on the team seeming to, like, want to help him? Like, what the fuck? Well, didn't I seem like an asshole when I see the broadcast next of Schwartzman wee bowling, taking out five of his team members? I'm like, well, they all had broken legs, so that's why there was no urgency.
Yeah, to be fair, like, if you hit me with your car and then ask me to help you change your tire, I would say fuck no.
Absolutely, as you should, but I didn't know at the time.
That's fair.
It ended up, like, it was honestly kind of funny when you thought about it afterwards.
Not knowing what happened and thinking that, like, Prem's team is just, yeah, like, we don't care. Like, yeah, I get
no it. Urgency. And that's, yeah, you know, that bothers me, like, about, yeah, most people, well, in life, yeah, when there's no urgency. Like, I'm a fast walker. If I have something to do, I'm like, I walk with a sense of urgency. So I was like, we're in the Indy 500. You're the pit crew. Like, is there ever are the stakes ever higher than right now? Get a fucking move on.
Hannah, no. Apologize to the
Prema team. I sincerely apologize to all the members of the Prema team. I had no idea that your legs were taken out from underneath you. One of them went to medical. I think he's okay. I hope everyone is okay. Like, truly, this is not a joke. But it kind of was funny at the time because I didn't know. Around this time, like, right when Schwartzman comes in, Takuma Sato also comes in. Mind you, Takuma Sato has had a great day at this point.
He's leading. Led the most laps.
Yeah. It's,
I,
like,
thought he was going to win.
I know. Me too. I was like, is he going to do it in the RLL?
Yeah.
Right? Unfortunately, on lap 88, which is also when Schwartzman came in, Sato came into his pit box and did not stop where he was supposed to. He stopped ahead of his mark. He had to reverse back. You lose precious seconds. That pretty much was race over for him.
I know.
So that kind of sucked. A little bit later on lap 92 is when we do get the Kyle Larson incident that effectively also took out Kiffin Simpson and Stingray Rob. I wrote, Larson loses it. Double done.
Double done. Yeah,
double fair. Done.
Is his goal, I'm sorry, does he want to win both races or does he just want to finish both races?
So what I learned about their double this year is that, because I mean, I knew it was happening last year, but, like, I'll be honest, like, I didn't know if it was, like, are you supposed to win both? Like, that seems like
a lot.
Actually impossible. So what I learned is that there's actually only been 6 people who have attempted the double and only one has completed it. There's been unforeseen circumstances for others, crashes, rain delays, whatever it might be. Because last year there was a rain delay that had Larson out. No one actually has completed it except for Tony Stewart. So it's just to complete it. Like, the only one person has done it. I mean,
to be fair, driving 1,100 laps in one day.
1,100 miles.
I'm sorry. You're right. 1,100 miles in one day is, like, a task.
Actually unbelievable. Yeah.
So, and, like, that's just a lot on your body itself. Like, someone had said, like, if Kyle Larson does do it and, like, rushes over in that helicopter over to Charlotte.
Yeah.
He's getting, like, liquid IV injections in the helicopter the entire time.
For sure.
Like,
for sure. It's the only way that your body can sustain that. Because, I mean, you lose how much water weight in a normal 2-hour race, never mind the Indy 500, which is 3 hours, and the Coke 600, which is probably around the same amount of time. Yeah. So
that's just a lot on your body.
On your body.
On your body. It's a lot on your body physically, like mentally. So, yeah, okay. I didn't know if the goal was to win. I guess, I mean, it's always to win, but, like, I guess in this sense, it's just actually
the expectation racing. Is not to win both. It's just to finish the 1,100 miles.
And did he finish the 1,100 miles?
He did not. No. For the second year in a row. Last year was a little bit out of his control.
Yeah.
There was a 4-hour rain delay in Indianapolis. There also happened to be a rain delay in Charlotte. So it seemed like he was going to be able to do it, but didn't end up working out for him.
And then there ended up being controversy that the delay in Charlotte was because they were waiting for Kyle Larson to show up.
I mean, I'm pretty sure there was rain.
There was. But he did finish.
Make it.
Like, he finished the 500 and made it Charlotte, but then, like, that race was just, like, not good.
Well, like, if I'm remembering correctly, he didn't make it on time, so they had to put somebody else in his car to start the race in Charlotte, and then he ended up finishing it. So he didn't do 1,100 laps. So
1,100 miles.
The double did not work last year. Tried it again this year. I believe the contract was only 2 years with Hendrick.
Put
and
me in, I'll do the double.
Arrow. Yeah, right? I know. It's like a fucking feat. So I will say, last year he seemed much more excited. This year, I don't know if he just was like, if he's a very serious man. Mm-hmm. Like, racing is just like his life, but it didn't seem like there was as much passion behind the double this year as there was last year.
No, I agree.
Maybe it's because it was the first year last year. I'm not sure. But obviously it sucks. Like, I actually really wanted Kyle to do it because I think that that's just really fucking cool. Yeah. Like, I really did. I didn't know about the Scotty Mac comments initially until, like, after the race. So, like, that kind of was, like,
uncalled for.
Yeah. Don't love that. But I did want him to do this because he's a super talented driver, and since only one other person has done it, it's like, and that was a while ago, I believe, when Tony Stewart completed it. It was in when he was 32, and he is a little older than that now. 1999. That's 26 years ago. So, like,
you were born in 1999.
I was born in 1999. I like somebody else to do the double. God forbid a girl wants the double to get finished. Anyways, he just loses it. Mm-hmm. I also saw a video where it looked like he was trying to accelerate while downshifting, which is really weird. His crash in the Coke 600, which came later that night as well, was like completely weird. On his own. Very weird.
Like, not what uncharacteristic. You'd expect from Kyle Larson.
Correct. Yeah. And, like, you know, I'm sure the cold track, cold tires play into things. But it just was odd. He takes out Stingray Rob with him and Kiffin Simpson. That was their day done. I really felt bad for those two because they didn't have anything to do with the incident. It just took them both out. Kiffin specifically, I was like, man, that really sucks. He's so young. Then Joseph came into the pits and nobody was moving again.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. So he was called in to retire. And retire he did do.
Yep. Which, there's a lot of controversy with Penske and Joseph Newgarden, like, in his car. There's not a lot of people rooting for him at this time.
Nobody at IMS, I can tell you that.
Nobody at IMS is rooting for him, that's
actually
for sure.
His biggest fan was there. I did see him. But
he's always there.
Yeah.
But, like, you have to admit, if he were to win 3 Indy 500s in a row, like, that would have been quite an achievement.
Oh, yeah.
Is it someone who we think, or do we think that team/driver deserves it? Like, there's a lot of speculation. Everyone has their own opinion, but you can't deny the fact that 3 Indy 500s in a row would be, like, absolutely insane of achievement.
He was running in 7th.
I know.
From 32nd. He was running in 7th for a lot of the race.
It's like he kind of had a chance.
He did. And I was in the suite that we were in. I was talking to
You were in the suite that you were in?
In the suite that we were in.
It's just the way you said
you're
it.
You're right. That seems odd. There was a driver there. I was talking to him. Sports car driver. Okay. Sports car driver and, like, potential Indy next. And he said, he's like, look, I'm rooting for the guy because that would be unbelievable. He's up right
now.
No
one else
into
can
7th.
Do it right now.
Literally, like, it would be such a story. Mm-hmm. Like, 3 in a row. All the setbacks that he's had. Yeah. And unfortunately, like, again, I think it was just another case of, like, IMS chooses its winner. Yeah. And it wasn't going to be Penske this year. And so he ended up retiring. Lap 135, it looks like. Yeah. And then Ryan Hunter-Reay, who does not race in the IndyCar series full time.
No.
He does a one-off race with Dreyer Reinbold Racing for the 500, was leading.
Yep.
And we were like, I thought at first, I'm like, wait, he hasn't pit yet. Like, once the pit cycle goes through, like, he's going to fall down. No.
He pit.
He was leading.
We saw a few people lead the race this year that were like, hold up, what's going on?
Yeah.
Devlin DeFrancesco led the 500 that for a bit. That was wild. You got to admit, it was wild.
Wild.
Connor Daly, holy.
You'll never hear IMS louder than when Connor Daly is leading
hometown
the 500.
Hometown hero. When he was leading, I was like, this is everything. Right
there was
now.
Also a point where people were like, Connor might
be I was able to at do that. This. I was at that point where I was like, yeah. Connor Daly is going to win the Indy 500.
Like, if Connor won and then the Pacers won that night, Indiana would actually just explode.
Absolutely. Did the Pacers win?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't follow basketball.
Yeah, that was the last retirement. So we did see a lot of retirements, a lot of cautions, but not the most exciting. I mean, compared to last year, like, last year was better.
When,
like,
we were green, it was not. There wasn't on-track passes. Now, I will say, Alex Palou. We gotta talk about him. Okay.
If anyone deserves an Indy 500 win, it's probably him.
Correct.
Actually, it is him. There's no probably
There's
about
nobody
it.
Else like, that this year deserves it.
This man has never won an oval in his life, mm-hmm. but he is a three-time IndyCar champion.
Yes.
Yeah, he no shit he deserves a 500 win.
Yes.
What was that comment? No. Who? I don't know if it was sent to us or if it was sent to some... Let me... Hang on. Hold up. Oh, okay. So Madeline, our yes. friend Madeline, made a post and someone commented on it saying, do you think Pelot has done enough to already be considered an IndyCar great? Did he really need to win the 500 to ensure that? Or just an oval win? Or had he done enough already just with his championships anyway? What?
Well, I would say yes. He's a three-time series champion.
For sure, one of the greats.
One of the greats. But he himself said this week in interviews, he could win the series every year and it wouldn't matter to him unless he had a 500.
Well, remember when we had Malukas on our podcast mm-hmm. and he said he'd rather win the 500
yep.
than like the series?
Yep.
That's just a thing. Like,
he'd rather win the 500 once than the series
yeah.
forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the Indy 500 is such a feat. Like,
it's just that's what it means to yeah. these guys. Yeah.
So that comment was just so weird when I saw it. I was like, what?
I mean, he's definitely a great, for sure.
He was already a great, but well, you can't blame him for yeah. like, also he's an incredible driver. So like, if anyone's going to win it at one point, it's going to be him.
Yeah.
You know, it's just kind of like it's comparing it to like him to Max Verstappen. Like, you just know, like, Max Verstappen, he's going to win Monaco. Like, yeah, he's going to yeah. win Silverstone. Like, yeah, he's yeah. going to win all of these incredible races. Because yeah. like, that's just who he is.
Yeah.
It just took a little bit longer for Pelot to do that.
Which, did you hear about the six timer club?
No.
Okay. So this is something that going into the race weekend was a little bit of a conversation, and I had no clue about this. So apparently there's a handful of drivers in IndyCar history that have won the 500 on their sixth try. This was
there
Pelot's.
There are so many conspiracies for every little thing in motorsports.
I wouldn't say necessarily it's a conspiracy as much as it is just like a fact. Because okay. like, you can't rig the 500. Well, Penske did.
Anyway, go.
By the way, I saw Caitlin. Yeah. I don't think she wanted a single fucking thing to do with me.
Really?
Yep. And I was like, oh, does this have to do with anybody? Anyways. So there's a handful of IndyCar drivers that won the Indy 500 on their sixth try. This was Pelot's sixth try. Now, the names of these greats, I'm like, so is there something here with the sixth attempt?
I literally found it in 5 seconds.
Got now. It. I don't know how you did it so fast. In 1968, Bobby Unser did it. In 1989, Emerson Fittipaldi did it. In 1990, Ari Leeuwendyk did it. 2008, Scott Dixon did it. In 2025, Alex Pelot did it. That's really cool.
Those are big names.
Huge too. Names. Huge names in IndyCar.
Yeah.
So something to be said there. His first oval win at the Indy 500 is absolutely unbelievable.
Also his fifth win in six races.
Fifth win season. In six races is unbelievable. Now, the conversation of the week was...
Not.
Was if you are Cadillac F1 coming into F1 this year, okay? I understand it's an Andretti entity. You would have to be insane to not consider Alex Pelot as one of your drivers.
Alex Pelot has no interest in going to Formula One.
That's what he said today.
Yeah.
I think he's saying that.
I don't think he's saying that. I don't, like, last year I'd be like, yeah, Alex Pelot, Formula One. But I think he's like, he knows he is... the best driver right now in the IndyCar series. Like, why would he go somewhere else right now?
I just eventually, like,
maybe eventually, but not right now, not next
year. But he's 26
year. He's young.
He is young, but he's older for like an F1 rookie. Now my question to like a lot of people this weekend was just like, is he considered? And like, everyone was like, you'd have to be crazy not to.
Yeah, you'd have to be crazy not to. But I like,
and I have heard him on podcasts say he has no interest. For me, I've always just been like, well, what's he going to say? That would be terrible for IndyCar, who's trying to get out of F1's shadow, for him to be like, yeah, that's once true. I do enough here, I'll go there.
Maybe he legally can't say
And that. If y'all remember, he did have a deal with Arrow McLaren. With McLaren yeah. to go and potentially have an F1 chance there.
Yeah,
that ultimately
fell through.
Fell through. So,
but it fell through because he didn't want to go. Like, and that's why McLaren was suing Alex. Or right. Like, so it's not like something fell through on F1's end or like that team's end. It was because he decided against it. So I'm think like if you know what I mean, like he's making these decisions to not go forward with Formula One. Like he doesn't want to be in Formula One.
I mean, again, like that's what we're being told, like on the outside.
We could be being lied to.
Who knows?
Christian like, Horner told us Checo was safe. So yeah, we don't know anything in motorsports.
We heard Checo was good for a long time. Anyways, I don't want to like take away from like the Indy 500 conversation because like congratulations, he deserved it so much. But like that is something that like I think people are talking about. And like, yeah, today he's like, oh yeah, I'm like, I have no interest. But just keep an eye on it. That's all I'm saying. Right. He is the most talented open wheel driver right now, the most consistent in his series.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we'd be nuts not to.
Yeah,
I'll pin it there. The finishing position for the Indy 500 was Pelot, Ericsson, which is a heartbreaker because this is going to be the second time he has finished second in the past 4 years. 3 years.
Yeah.
Past 3 years, which is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And lots of people think that he should have won 2023 when Joseph had that, they had the last lap shootout type deal.
Yeah.
Okay. Pelot, Ericsson, Malukas, Award is how it finished. David.
Already insane.
David, like, Malukas, we haven't even talked about David.
David Malukas, I'm pretty sure he led a few laps also. He did. And then for him to podium.
He led two, yeah.
For him to podium at the Indy 500.
And he said it himself. Last year, I was in the media center making TikToks, being so disappointed that I wasn't racing. And this year, I'm on the podium.
Yep. Incredible. Incredible. So that was how the race finished. And then we thought the Indy 500 was done. We thought Alex Pelot won, Marcus Ericsson second, and like
David Malukas third.
Yeah. Because why would we think otherwise? Why would we think that the Indy 500 is still going to continue after that?
And my question is, why would we not think that technical inspections were going to have another, we're going to cause another
Shake up
this Indy 500.
So, what, the day after?
Yep, the morning after.
The morning after, we found out that, so because after every race, these drivers have to go through tech inspection. They have to. We come to find out that three cars did not pass tech inspection, which means their starting or their finishing place was disqualified. And they moved to the rear of the grid, technically not finishing the race. Like, because their how they finished was against the rules,
mm-hmm.
depending on how their car was set up.
Mm-hmm.
Those cars were Callum Ilott,
mm-hmm.
Prema,
mm-hmm.
Colton Herta, 28 or 27.
Kyle Kirkwood.
Yeah, you're right. Callum Ilott with Prema, Kyle Kirkwood with Andretti, Marcus Ericsson, Andretti. So the man who finished second for the Indy 500 is now 32nd on the freaking grid.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am so happy that he did not win the Indy 500.
Me too.
Because if he won and had that win, the trophy stripped from him.
Yeah.
If that were me, I would tie bricks to my legs and walk into a river.
And no driver wants to win the 500 on a disqualification. No. Pato said it. So we're not going to get into the rest of the Penske stuff that happened this past week, but it was determined that last year's car, Indy 500 winning car,
St. Pete,
was
last year's
Indy 500 winning car had the illegal attenuator that was caught this year.
But there was
it wasn't caught. Doug Bowles announced they weren't going to strip Joseph of last year's win. However, it was a little bit of a conversation for a couple hours. Pato was asked about it. Of course, he says, you know, that's not how I want to win the 500. Similarly to this. If Ericsson won and was disqualified, nobody would want... Well, first of all, that's up for him. Nobody would want to win on a disqualification.
No, that's just...
These guys have too much pride.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Yeah.
It would be like, no one won that year.
Yeah,
is what it would be like. So it's like, my heart breaks for Marcus Ericsson for sure, but it would have... If he had won, it would have been so much worse. I wonder, like, what they would have done in that situation if he had won. Like, would they would have had to give him a penalty if they're giving his teammate the exact same penalty. Like, yeah, do you know what I mean?
I don't know. I know. I don't want to think about it because that would have been so bad.
So that was just like the conversation that came up. Insane. So now the new podium is Alex Palou, David Malukas, second place at the Indy 500.
Unbelievable.
Pato O'Ward, third.
Yeah. Which means essentially nothing for Pato.
No. He's already Pato was like, I have finished every he's single finished position. Second
place, yeah.
At the 500, except first.
Yeah.
Like, he's... I feel bad. This year wasn't his year. We knew that.
The car wasn't fast enough.
No. He did... he was good. It's not like he was, like, trailing behind. But, you know, he couldn't compete with Palou. He couldn't mm-hmm. compete with the cars that were, like...
Mm-hmm.
consistently performing, mm-hmm. which felt bad.
He also said that he and Fro were held up a lot by the restarts,
yeah,
and a few cars holding back or like having weird maneuvers. Like he had said something like, it was like a dice roll. Like you just didn't know whether they were going to go right or left on the restart, and it was weird. You couldn't predict like how the restart was going to go, and that's just not like good racing. So yeah. That's what he said. A couple other drivers felt the same way as well, seemed to have helped Palou actually, but it seemed like Palou just played the long game this race, and
he usually does he always does,
yes, and as soon as he took the lead, Ericsson was not going to catch him. So that's the 109th running of the Indy 500.
Let's fucking get ready. And for 110.
I know, like Nolan even like the race literally finished on a yellow flag because Nolan ended up hitting the wall, but it didn't affect
anything,
yeah,
like the order or anything. No. It's just like shitty that the race ended.
Yeah.
It started and ended under yellow flag.
Yeah.
Which hasn't happened in like 15 years.
Yeah. Crazy.
That was Indy 500.
Anyways, that's Indy 500.
Please ask me about hyperfixation. I haven't had time to think.
That's okay. I'll give one, but like I can't really hyperfixate on it because I can't have it again. But I went to Swig this week.
Oh my God.
Might be the highlight of my Indy 500.
I was gonna ask. Okay, yeah.
Quite Swig jealous. Was so good. Like I thought, I'm like, oh yeah, whatever. Just soda. No. It was so good. We didn't know what to try, so we got like 6 kids drinks because we're like, let's try them all. We just got the small ones. It's cheap too. It's like $2. And we got the Shark Attack. My sister got the Shark Attack. The Mojito Mama, which is my personal favorite. The Texas Tab, and something else, and then there was some sort of Dr. Pepper with like a strawberry puree. To die for.
That does sound really good.
All of it to die for. Like, and we had the pretzel bites.
How did we not go last year?
So good. Who fucking knew Indiana had a Swig?
That's fair.
Like, truly, I had no idea.
Because you liked it last, like you liked the show last year.
Yeah.
So you would have like wanted to go if you knew it was there for sure.
Was the show out last year at this time? I think it was a little later in the summer.
Right.
But I've known about Swig.
I didn't know about Swig.
I wouldn't have known there was one in Indiana. It just didn't seem like a state that would have it. But Mac was like, yeah, there's 2. And one was really close to her. I also got the cookies and the pretzel bites, A+. Like, you guys, I'm so happy that there isn't one in the state that I live in because I go there every day. So good. Made a couple TikToks. I have a review video to post. It's just, anyways.
Post them.
I'm hyperfixating on Swig.
Okay, as you should. I'm hyperfixating on work right now because I don't have a choice.
I know, I'm sorry. I think that's all. We're definitely missing a lot of shit. This has been a long ass episode, and
we're definitely missing stuff. Like we are, but what do you want from us? I don't know.
I met Gronk and I had Swig.
You didn't meet Gronk. You saw Gronk. And now we have Detroit and Barcelona coming up, and this is the last race in Barcelona probably for a while because they're going to Madrid after.
Oh yes, I forgot about Madrid. That's so funny because like in the first days of our podcast we talked about how it was switched to Madrid.
Yeah, I know.
And now it's officially happening. And you were in Spain last year.
I know.
That's so sad. We'll
talk about it on the next episode.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add?
Impulsively, I'm going to the Nashville Super Speedway again this year.
I'm so sad I can't go.
Why can't you?
Jordan's wedding.
Fuck.
I know. Like 2 super important things in my life that are that have happened or are happening this year. It means I can't miss.
Well,
I have to miss the races.
Don't worry, because I'm there for 36 hours, flying in on Saturday, out on Monday.
Maybe that's how you do it.
I think that is how you do it, because I got super sick after Nashville this past year. Maybe it's because
Nashville was so fun. Tootsies killed us all.
Tootsies.
Man, I miss Tootsies.
Yeah, so did we. So, anyways, that's all I have.
That's it. Okay, so this was a little bit of the Monaco Grand Prix, but mostly Hannah's recap of the Indy 500.
We are Track Talk.
Good chat for now.